It's a blessing to come to another beautiful church. And my children, they're going to play a couple songs for you right now. One verse will be in Italian. So those speak Italian tongues for you. But it's a blessing to be here. Another beautiful Naomi. I called a local church Naomi. A picture of his Ruth. I don't know if you guys read the Bible, the book of Ruth. It represents a Gentile bride. And Boaz represents Jesus, where Naomi fits. Naomi is the local church. The inner man, the pastor. It's a blessing. If it wasn't, doesn't matter how Naomi got bitter because she lost her husband to children. She's stuck with the stuff. And because of her testimony, Ruth got to Boaz. So because of you here, go through hard times like your pastor. Hang in there. Young Ruth, young men come to know Christ. Steadfast, always immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So my children, don't I give you a blessing this morning? God bless you. I want to introduce my beautiful family that the Lord gifted me with. I want to start with my wife, Janet. Amen. With our last one, Mose, Josue. Josue means Joshua. Then we got Graziella here, Arp. Priscilla, Giacomo, Lydia, Samuele, Eunice, and Mose.
Praise the Lord. I don't know where to start. I want to just start thanking the Lord for all of you again. Your pastor, what he's went through in his life, he's a very strong man. Not everybody can support whatever he went through. Amen. I thank God for my wife. First, I want to thank God for all you Italians here. I mean, Italians, amen. Raise your hand, Italian. Wow. And if you guys come to Sicily, we can turn the island upside down. Amen. But praise the Lord. I want to thank for my wife that no one can take her place. The only culture shock that she had when she came to Sicily, the only culture shock she had when she met me, that was enough for her to get understanding to go to Sicily. The only reason I got a lot of consideration to my Sicilian connational people, because if it wasn't for this book, AV 1611, I would be worse than them. Amen. So that's the number one consideration for you to preach the gospel to your own people. That's a blessing. But really, it's okay, some ladies that love the Lord, pray, that have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good. I want to challenge you ladies this morning here that it takes more guts for a woman to take care of a man for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much easier for you ladies pray and do whatever for the Lord. That's fine. See, the Lord Jesus Christ never need his pants be ironed. The Lord Jesus Christ never needs for you to cook spaghetti for him. But we do. So I want to thank for you ladies, and want to thank God for you that you're blessed if you have married and you take care of a man, an imperfect man like us. It takes more guts for you. So God bless you that you can challenge anything you do for us, you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're blessed. I mean, you don't do as unto the man, as unto the Lord. And but a blessing. So that was a little antipasto there. I will talk to you in the ministry either tonight or Wednesday. Pray that the meeting that we got in Brooklyn will be on Thursday, so we'll be here on Wednesday. about 2-3 months before I came to furlough, I asked the Lord to give me a good message, fresh message. I said, God, I want to bring a fresh message to the Lord, my brethren here in the States that deserve a fresh message. They don't need a frozen French pizza. I want to bring them something fresh. Amen. I want to put the food in my message. So by the time we finish, you guys are hungry to go to eat. And I will be using spaghetti and pizza because I'm Italian. If it was a Chinese, I would mention rice and soy, tofu, you know. If you was a Mexican, I will talk to you in nachos with cheese and burritos and Doritos. But since I'm Italian, I'm going to put... when I mention spaghetti and pizza, it doesn't mean I always eat spaghetti and pizza. No, otherwise I'd be like this pulpit. But I don't, really. I don't. So please be... And so the Holy Ghost said, if you want a fresh message, I want you to go... Get things straight with a brother down the street. I understand exactly what he said. But as a man, I said, Lord, what has got to do a message with get things straight with a brother down the street? I said, well, that's the message. There are a lot of veterans in the States, they are bitter. Even though they did good. And some time between the church walls. But I heard them, they heard the message. No. I said, you bring your own Sicilian way over here. Bring your Sicilian touch. With your Sicilian spices, you bring this message. If you want to be a blessing. If you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. No problem. I said, no, I want to do it. I said, matter of fact, before you, when you make pizza, spaghetti, I said, it's better if you taste it first before you give it out. So So I want you to go through it first. Anybody can make for, you know, I feel bad for young preachers here. I know you got good messages. That's good. But really, unless you have some experience, you can never really taste what it means, the message. That's good stuff. Don't get discouraged, you young preachers. Make good message. Pastor invite you to preach. Go ahead and preach. Do it. That's a good exercise, man. Training. But it's a different story when you go through it yourself. You know, young man can preach about marriage, but it's different when you're already married and preach what it means to have a wife and the children. It's a different story, So it'd be more, but don't get discouraged. Keep preaching, amen? Get your experience. And about 10 years ago, as I was reading, that doesn't mean it was 10 years ago, I read that passage and that's it. I mean, 10 years ago, as I was reading, I have to explain sometime, Genesis, go with me, Genesis 50, the life of Joseph, that how he became so successful in Egypt, that we are nothing but Egypt, this world, how he became successful yet, and his brethren tried to kill him. I mean, how did he get over that? I don't understand. Well, I mean, without the Bible, without the Holy Ghost, how did he get in there? Now, I'm going to be mentioning the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean I'm charismatic. Okay, don't do that. No. We're going to visit him in a little bit. And in Genesis 50, the last chapter, this is a message that God gives me patience and grace to teach to you this morning. This is kind of like a preaching morning. It means a mix between preaching and testimony and teaching also in the same time. Teaching. Let the Holy Spirit go through in your conscience, in your mind, a message called forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Forgive, forget, and be fruitful. It sounds very easy, but this is the only way you can keep your marriage together, keep your church together, keep your job together, keep your fellowship together with your pastor. Learn how to forgive, forget, so you can be fruitful. Forgive, forget. And the Holy Spirit gave me this message as I was. I'm not one of those preachers, which is good, you know, trying to make the message start with the same letter. That's okay. I wasn't looking for that, really. I'm not like that. I am a stir-fry preacher. Just go to the garden and get little things here and make a meal out of it. No. I'm not a recipe or, you know, just whatever is available. And we get the meal going, get the children eat so we can grow and they have their own families too. So in Genesis 50, 17, the Bible says this, "So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive. I pray thee now, the transgress of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the transgress of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And Joseph wept. Wept, I guess you're supposed to get mad. But no, he didn't. Joseph is type of Jesus. You know, the Bible says how this joy is in heaven when a sinner comes to repentance. When some of you, if you're here today, you're still not saved. You know that if you come to the altar or go wherever, somebody leads you to Christ, you know in heaven it's like a big feast. I mean, just talking about bells. I mean, just joy in heaven. Don't run the bases over there. Someone is here. What a blessing. That is a type of Jesus. I said, wow, they came to. And Joseph wept and they spake. Look at 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. Fell down before his face. Then there was the reason why the brethren killed or tried to kill Joseph. Because he told Joseph, told his brethren, hey guys, you guys are going to bow down to me. I said, bow down to you? I mean, not only we feed the sheep out there, we're in the middle of the heat, we do all the work, And you and your brother stay in an air-conditioned room with daddy. And we out there, you know, scourging our backs to feed the sheep. And not only we do all the work around here, and now you're going to tell us. We're going to bow down to you too. Not only that, even Papa and Mom are going to bow down to you. This guy is crazy. He's going crazy. We got to get rid of this guy. I mean, we do all the work around the church, and now this preacher is going to come over here and tell us what to do. That's some bitterness. As some time gets bitter, the brother that knows the jack of all trades. Maybe your brother here that knows about to do everything in this building. I mean, you can even lift it up with your hands. And the devil can get in and say, well, look, the preacher doesn't do anything. And then, don't do that. God needs you. God needs a preacher. Maybe you're the hands of this church. Some of you are feet. Your pastor is the mouth. And today he's going to be also with the hands, setting up the tables. What a blessing. Not many pastors do that. You got a beautiful pastor here. That no matter what he went through, he still is going forward. What a blessing. You guys are blessed here. Blessed. Blessed. A lot of preachers right now would just throw the towel out and put it in their heads, become rag heads. Becomes a bunch of Muslims acting like that. I'm not criticizing my cousin Ishmael. That he needs to be saved too. The Holy Ghost told me about a couple months ago, about a couple years ago, I said, if it wasn't for this book, he said, it would be worse than Saddam Hussein. Shut up and pray for them. That's what he said. It would be worse. We wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for this book. So instead of criticizing them, let's pray for them. Our ministry is going to be enlarged. We're going to go back to Sicily to witness to the Muslims. I'm living in a town, Mazzara, means meeting point in Arab. They need to be saved too. You pray for me. We speak in tongues over there, man. The Holy Spirit said, no, he takes some lessons. Try to learn French. Fish too hard, Arab. Catholic people for me are too easy. They get offended too easy. It's a blessing. So now I got double burden. God knows I can handle it. You pray for the police on their end. And because anything that God writes in this book, either you like it or not, is going to happen. You know, the Bible says every knee shall bow through Jesus Christ. Either you like it or not, either beloved likes it or not, he's going to bow down to him one day. But the difference is this. If he bows down now his knee to Jesus, he's going to go to heaven. If he's going to bow down later, that'd be too late. He's going to run up on a lake of fire. So pray that he bowed down before there. Every knee shall bow down. Every knee, man. Even Satan himself, man. Will you believe that? I can picture Satan finally bow down. That dragon that made our ancestors sin because of disobedience. By the way, since I'm there, the first terrorist wasn't Bin Laden. The first terrorist was Cain. Kill his brother without his brother do anything to him. Kill him and betray. You know why? Because he was mad at God. Since he could not reach God because God is too far, he killed his brother. All these four Muslim cousins that we got, you know why they killed? They met a God, and they unload their frustrations to his men, his neighbor. They met a God. The first terrorist was Cain, his own brother. But sometimes, since we're here, we create our own terrorists. Sometimes we create our own Ishmaelites, sons and daughters, or situations. You young ladies, a young man, try to get married right now. You want to get married a little early. You don't wait on the Holy Ghost to tell you, that's the right man, that's the right girl. You want to get married a little early. You want to just speed up. Guess what? If you don't listen to the Holy Ghost and tell you which man you're going to marry or which girl, you know what's going to happen? You're going to create yourself an Ishmaelite decision. That for the rest of your life, you're going to fight with that decision. Until this morning, Ishmael and Isaac, they're fighting over there in Gaza. Right. Two brothers, same papa, same Abraham. Ben, the Jews also. They are Jews also, a little dark, a little whole wheat, a little darker size, but they're still Abraham's seed. Brother was saying that today, testosterone, yeah, the same seed. Two brothers are fighting each other. So if you haste the decision, you don't wait on the Holy Ghost. Maybe fast. Get the flesh a couple of weeks. Don't give him pizza. Just eat lentils and green tea, something like that. Let that flesh just die out. Help you out. He will tell you a little bit. He'll come. God promised every man a woman. And God promised every woman a right man. It's only one right for you. One is right. Only one. And you know. Like my wife saw me. And I saw her. That was instantly at 30 years old. We knew that God speaks to both of you. In that meantime, do what you're supposed to do. And so because of the brethren did not obey the prophet, the book, the revelation, I said, okay, then you guys disobey my promise. Then you're going to starve now. So now you got to go to Egypt. You're going to be forced to bow down to Joseph in the wrong way. Learning the hard way. Remember the little thing? If you don't accept the Lord, the Holy Spirit tells us sometimes what to do and not to do. If you would do our way, then he's going to make us do in a hard way. But if they would have bowed down to Joseph a long time ago, there wouldn't have no problem with Egypt. But since Joseph keep loving God, all things work together for good for those who love God. He practiced Romans 8:28. Joseph. Instead of he get bitter, he became better. As an American preacher said a long time ago. He said, he get bitter, he got better. What a blessing. What we want to do? You want to get bitter? Go ahead. The whole world is dying. Go to hell, bitter. You want to do the same thing? And did Jesus forgave us? Yeah. What are we supposed to do? You want to be forgiven? The Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. If you want to be forgiven, if you do wrong to brother, to your pastor here, if you want him to forgive me, if you want to do wrong to him, then evidently I have to forgive him when he does wrong to me. You know, wash each other's feet. An Italian would say, wash each other's hand. But the Bible says, wash each other's feet. A little more stinky than there, amen? A little more cheese, amen? Mozzarella. But that's it. When you guys support a missionary, money, you know what that is? Wash my feet. My dad, even though was lost, he told me how to work. And it was hard for me to close myself and let the bathroom wash my feet, putting spaghetti on my table so I can preach the gospel to the Sicilians there, or to whoever come through. So I'll thank you guys to wash my feet. It's a very humbling thing. I'm worse than Peter sometimes. But the Lord said, Peter, then you got nothing to do with me. It doesn't matter. It didn't mean he's lost. No, it doesn't mean that. I said, oh, okay, Lord. Blessed be God. Abba, Father. And Joseph... 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. You know what? Some of you, you're already going to practice the song, the message with me here, by not understanding what I'm saying, or how I'm interpreting, how I'm speaking to you. You have a hard time already to listen to me. And you might say to yourself, oh man, God, I got enough problem myself. No, I got to put up with this Sicilian guy here. Doesn't know how to speak English. Are you already practicing this message to please forgive me, forget, so I can be fruitful? You're already going to be practicing this message before you're going to get out of those doors. Because I know who I am. I know who we are. Amen. It's going to be a challenge to you today. So don't go to sleep. Amen. The pizza is coming. I can smell already. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. I wish that the Pope Ratzinger can say that as a man. People go to Vatican City and bow down to this guy, always dressed in a Halloween costume all year round. And I wish he can say as a man, hey, don't bow down to me. I'm just a sinner like you are. He knows, but he won't do it. Why? Because they're going to kill him. The black pope is going to kill him because he's a puppet. Just a puppet. That's a figure. Image. And like the image, you're going to come, the Antichrist, you're going to bow down to the image. They're already doing it. The image. He's an image. He doesn't do nothing. Like they're going to try to promote Hillary to be the president of the United States. They're going to use her as a puppet, as an image. There. She's not going to make any decisions. They use her as an image. So pray that God will provide us with a good president coming up. Don't let the America is going down. No, but you don't push her neither. America going down. Pray that God would do. Give us a good. Doesn't matter what kind of. As long as he's a man of God and listen to the Holy Ghost of God, so we can save some more Sicilians, some more Muslims, some more Polish, some more sinners. Pray for that. Pray for that. But as for you, verse 20, you thought evil against me, but God meant unto good to bring to pass, as it is in this day, to say, why did it turn out to be good? Because Joseph never got bitter. Always was thinking about the promises that God said, that your brethren is going to bow down. It's going to come to pass. It was going to keep us, brethren, in the race, for you keep on looking for the blessed hope. That Jesus, like all the songs the brother this morning was singing, when, we are, it's coming. So if you keep your mind on the promises, you're going to get better. You're going to be fruitful. You might become a manager of Walmart shopping centers around here. That's what happened to Joseph. Because he didn't get bitter, he became big supervisor, boss of the whole Walmart over there in Egypt. And was supporting a lot of missionaries. What a blessing. If you're not called into the ministry, then do something with all might. Get a business going, man. Get Christians working in there, whatever it is, the lowest thing. Do with all your might until the Holy Spirit says, okay, that's enough, man. Since you're good, I'm working there. Since you're good, a good manager. Since you're good, then I'm going to pull you out and place you. Don't wait on the sidelines waiting on God calls you. If you want to be in front of God, then even three abilities. I believe I did teach them 7 years ago here. The first ability you got to have to serve God is availability. Make yourself available. Brother said, okay, to come to the street preaching, whatever it is, make yourself available. Number two, God wants a cheerful giver. Be exciting. Excitability. Availability, excitability. The third ability, after you get excited, durability, enduring, and now hanging in there. Durability, enduring of a good soldier, of who? Of Jesus Christ, not a wimp. What kind of man we are? Sometimes I look at those poor Muslims that blow themselves up. At least they're not hypocrites. They're doing exactly what the Quran says. To me, sometimes it's a blessing. They teach me. They die for their God, made up of stone. And without the living God, that we just... Let's go out there like David did. A little guy with a big giant religion. Let's go out there. Amen. Yeah, we're going to have the problem with the flesh. We all have problem with the flesh. Don't worry about it. Just enjoying the club. Well, if you act like David, they're going to end up in adultery. Don't worry about it. Bleed the blood of Jesus Christ and do what you got to do. Sometimes the flesh holds us up behind. David did it. We go in the name of the Lord. And so, verse 21, not therefore fear ye now, that will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a blessed picture of Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, he said. What a blessing. enjoying. And listen, Bethlehem, serving the Lord is not boring. Don't worry about it. I'm not bored. Blessed with 8 children. Do you understand? I don't know how to comprehend that. Because if you think it is a man, I will go crazy. I came for a glass of water 20 years ago. And he gave me eternal life. The second prayer I did, I asked God to give me a good woman that brings me closer to him. And he did. And, you know, he gave me 8 tomatoes on top of it. I gave him a little town. Probably some of you don't even know what I'm saying. But I went to, Lord, give me a town. And says, now he's giving us the whole island. Over 5 million people. We go out with the children, with the instruments. You're going to see it as a slide presentation either tonight or Wednesday. Just make myself available, excitable, enjoying, and enduring as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I used to be out there at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning at the discotheques. I thought I was the Italian, Sicilian John Travolta. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then at 7 o'clock, go to a construction company. Jackhammering 100-pound jackhammers in the morning, 7 o'clock, 4 hours sleep. I used to do that for the devil, and now, when it comes to serving God, oh man, make sure we got everything met. Make sure I got 8 hours of sleep. Make sure I got this. Make sure I got that. Now all of a sudden we become these clean pigs. Clean. Clean. Well, I don't want to ruin that. Now we come paralyzed. But when we went to the world, no problem. We had all the energy we could. And now when it comes to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we got all the vitamins, we got all the minerals, make sure we got all the everything. I mean, just to fit. And then, okay, Lord, now I'm available. God said, a man looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Forget. If you're looking back, I said, that's okay, man. Just stay in. Thank God we saved. And so in the first passage, pray with me that we get this little teaching down. Please pray. So this forgiveness point on Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see what's going to help us to forgive. Let's see what's going to help us. In Ephesians chapter 4. I heard a message of forgiveness all the time in the past. I used to come to the altar hard and go back bitter. I used to come to the altar bitter and go back hard. I said, why doesn't it work coming to the altar? Why doesn't, I don't get the victory. Nobody show me who's going to help me. Look at verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not who? Who? The Holy. Why doesn't it say the Lord Jesus Christ? Because a bunch of charismaniacs, they abused the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We as Baptists trying to eat the pizza and the salad, no oil. No, not even mention that Holy Spirit. Don't get funny now. Look at this. He takes faith. Just obey the word of God. And you see, open eyes, open book, without speaking it. Look at this. Did the Lord Jesus Christ tell the apostles, talking to the apostles now, don't leave Jerusalem unless what? The Holy Spirit comes, the power. Why? Because if you're going to, you guys are going to get out without the Holy Spirit, you guys are going to make a mess out of it. Did Peter was the one denied the Lord 3 times that night? Same carcass, the same flesh. What happened after he got the Holy Spirit? What happened? Man, he preached like a lion, the tribe of Judah, in the middle of Manhattan. Jesus saved! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Of course, now, yesterday I noticed another, the pastor uses the the microphone. I said, wow, you don't have to stream anymore. Blessing. So we're going to get a couple of those in Sicily. Look, guess what? Beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I don't have to stream. Why? Speak the truth in love. It doesn't matter how you speak the truth in love, but if you scream, it gives an appearance of bitterness. So by with the microphone, like, you know, we use the car. You drive 10 miles with the car, air conditioned, and you walk 10 miles, the same distance. When you're done, how are you going to thank God better? By walking or because you use the car? Use the car. Same thing with the microphone. We use it for the Lord. Instead of screaming, hey, Jenny, come here, the baby wants you. I call her up. Jenny, listen, the baby it needs to be changed. She said, well, I want you to change it too. Okay, I change it. I change the baby. I used the wrong illustration. That I know the answer. I said, why don't you change it? what a blessing. And dream not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Wow. The Lord give us a seal, the hot and the cold. Dream not the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. What a beautiful thing of eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Picture a tuna, a can of tuna fish. Can. We have the tuna inside. Somebody sealed the can. Can the tuna open up the can from the inside? No. So we can lose your salvation. Simple. Doesn't matter what you do, because when we got saved, he didn't save us what we did. What he did. So how can we do things now that makes us lose that? When was it? When we not even have enough good works, not even to get saved. And now, you think if we're going to have enough works to stay saved? No way, man. So why we got to do good works? So they might see, for the lost people, they might be saved. As what justifies us to the Father, he's by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. What justifies us to Staten Island, that we are in the faith, is by looking at our works. Our works justifies us to man that we are in the faith. I will justify you and me to the Father, our faith to his Son, pure, precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen. So make sure we get the thing. So you don't have to worry about if you're going to fall. No, do it, work clean in the light, so we can bring others to Christ. See our good works. You can cook me a good plate of spaghetti. But if the plate is dirty, I won't eat it. The spaghetti is beautiful. Nothing wrong with the spaghetti, with the Word of God. The gospel is nothing wrong with the gospel. But if you don't walk in the light, it means I'm giving this good spaghetti in the dirty plate, I won't eat it. Just put it in my hands. I didn't put it in my hands right there. Just wash my face up with it. But anyway. So because now I'm starting to listen to the Holy Spirit, now I ask him to give me power to let all bitterness, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Pray. Say, God, Holy Spirit, give me the power to let all my bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. Why? Because, God, I want to be kind one to another. I want to be tenderhearted. I want to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. Speak. It's not a bad doctrine to talk to the Holy Ghost. Because if he's grieving, if I grieve him, that means he's speaking to me. That means he's got a tongue. And so that means he's got ears too, to listen. When Peter said, man, you, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Wait a minute. It means, Ananias and Sapphira was speaking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was like, no, don't do that. Speak the truth. And he said, no, I don't want to do it. So he was speaking to the Holy Ghost without speaking any tongues. That easy. God gave the Spirit of tongues. They were languages to father the gospel. Not to stay in a room and then cooked up themselves. to have a new car next day. This or that. Change the hair and the hair color. The Holy Ghost is not for that. The Holy Ghost is to preach the gospel. Did the Bible says walk in the Lord Jesus Christ or walk in the Spirit? And fulfill not what? The lust of the flesh. Can be bitterness is one. You got a problem with smoking? Ask the Holy Ghost to give you the power. Help me, Holy Spirit, to stop smoking. Please help me. Help me. Drinking with pornography, with drinking. Tell him. He said, you got the power. Amen. The world that lives in all kinds of got the power songs all over the place. What kind of power they got? We got the power. So I can be kind one to another. Give me, Holy Ghost, to give me a power to be a good husband. Help me, stop me to get mad. Help me to be kind. Ladies, Holy Ghost, give me power to obey my husband. Doesn't matter, he's imperfect. I mean, is he like a dog? But please, help me at least to be, as unto the Lord, help me to be submissive to this jerk over there. Please, I mean, he's making a mess. I mean, not even know how to eat pizza. And he's unkind. Please, help me to my good works. And may him come to repentance. Amen. Amen. My sister's like, she doesn't know how to cook pizza. She doesn't know how to cook sauce. God, you know, she doesn't cook the sauce like my mother used to do. Well, you didn't marry your mother, you marry her. Maybe you're teaching her a little bit. Now my wife, she can overpass my mother in cooking sauce and everything. What a blessing. And she's not my wife because she cooks sauce. Not at all. I used to cook my own spaghetti and sauce before I got married. Do my own clothing. Everything. I used to do everything myself. I didn't marry a slave or a waitress. Mary helped me. Amen. Then everything she does after that, it's all extra. Amen. It's all extra.
That's right.
No condition. It doesn't say fathers love you. Husband love your wife if she cooks good or she doesn't. No condition. The only condition is love your wife.
Amen.
What a blessing. I want to thank God for my wife. And because Joseph forgave, God gave him two beautiful sons. Go with me in Genesis chapter 41. God gave him two sons. He became fruitful. Since bitterness make you unfruitful, when you forget, you became fruitful. You become fruitful. In Genesis 41, verse 51. What the Tower mean? Would you read for us? Genesis 41, 51, please, when you get there. Thank you. God, help me. God, help me to make me forget all my toil in my father's house. Help me to make me forget. Please, make me forget. Since I'm a stubborn, my flesh want to hate him, doesn't want to forget, even though I forgive him. And you know what? If you cannot forget, then most of the time you don't even forgive him yet.
That's right.
So, it's like a domino. You got to have the power of God. Jesus had to have the help of the Holy Spirit to finish the job here on earth as a man. As a man. And it was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. It was in the Spirit all the time. So we need His power. We need His power. Forget. Philippians chapter 3. About forgetting. See what Brother Paul says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope some of you get free. Start getting freedom from the strongholds of unforgiveness spirit. And you try to cover up with dressing up a little better. Make up the face. so he doesn't see the bitterness. He might change a new suit. So I give you, he might change your car. So if you look at the same car, that reminds you that person. So you sell your car to buy another car. So by looking at another car, guess what? Now my conscience is still there. Maybe change, maybe go on a diet. Maybe go on fasting for a couple of weeks. And then after any spaghettis again, the thing comes back again. Because you try to do it on your own power. We need His power. He's going to come back again. So, Paul says here to the Philippians, verse 13. Brother, you're in the third seat. Brother, right here, with a yellow tie. Please, would you, I forgot your name. Sorry. Forgive me. What's your name?
Tony.
Tony. Yes.
Chapter 3, verse 13
and 14. Thank you.
And 14.
Yes. Thank you, Tony. What a blessing. Easy. Easy. This is one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. That means bad things. I don't think he forgot when he got saved. He didn't forget when the road to Damascus. I don't think he forgot that. There's a lot of things we don't have to forget. Don't forget how when God saved us. Where were you when God saved you? Look back, man, how disgusting life was. We're aliens from God. We were on the way to hell. We had no hope, no salvation. In the darkness, Satan hated us. But somebody gave us the gospel, and we made a decision to get saved. And so Paul says, amen, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things who are before. Now, since I forgot, now I'm going to press the pedal. Since I stopped looking back, like Lot's wife, now I'm going to press the pedal, gas, and just go, man. Put the cruise control and enjoy Christianity, enjoy life, enjoy your family, enjoy your job, your church, everything. Amen. You got to forget the past. You cannot waste this thing because of Luke chapter 9 says, the Lord said about the test of discipleship, He said, that guy said, oh, Lord, please let me go first to my house and say goodbye to my family. I said, no. I said, I'm not saying you got to now ruin your fellowship with your own family because you got to serve the Lord. That doesn't mean that. The idea is that he that looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in us. If you want to have this little kingdom of God here, little peace on your chest, you have to forgive. And you got to forget. It's like you're pruning the tree. Pruning the tree means forgive. You cut the branches, whatever that you cut. And then the branches, you just look at the branches now. Now, pick them, don't stare at them and feel sorry for it. Get them and burn them out, whatever. Do bark mulch, whatever you got to do with it. Now, guess what? Since you forgive, each cut, get rid of all the branches clean, rake the whole thing up. Guess what? Come springtime, you're going to get some fruit. The fruit's going to come. Keep on taking care of. So the third point, once you forgive, let the Holy Spirit help you to forgive and forget now, waiting for the tomatoes, man. It's got to come. It's got to come fruit. And so the second son, let's go back to Genesis 41. We're finishing it up. Genesis 41, 52. And the brother that came yesterday with us. Yes, brother, you. Amen. Genesis 41, 52. Read it for us. Yes, sir.
And the name of the second called the Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
The first son, forget, means forget. The second son means fruitful. For God had caused me to be fruitful. That's what it means. The first, Manasseh means forget, and Ephraim means fruitful.
Oh, amen. That's good.
I didn't ask God about that. It came just.
Amen.
In the land of what? my affliction? Well, guess what? This tree, when I pruned it this fall, I afflict it. Little juice comes out. But you love it. You don't trim it and yank the tree like this. That's got to be the right way. Trim it nice. Wow. Look around. The branch. Maybe in the middle, we have to make a little space so the sun gets in there. No darkness. Because if it is darkness, there's no fruit. So what they do, the tree orchards, farmers, they clean the inside too. So there is light in there to produce fruit. That's why when we walk in darkness, even though we say it's nested, the tree is a nest, but we have to be pruned nice. So when you come here Sunday in and Sunday night, Wednesday, a pastor is pruning. He prunes you a little bit, make you look beautiful. Wow. And it shines. You see more children coming up. More fruit comes up. He's the husbandman. He's trying to get the vineyards so you get more fruit. Maybe sometime a pastor sees you a little dark, and he tried to get in there and get some bread. Hey, brother, what's going on? He tried to cut some inner branches to get some light inside so he can produce some fruit, quality fruit. So don't get offended when the pastor tried to look at him. I can't believe he's got my number, man. Yeah, thank God he's got your number, man. Praise the Lord. That's why you're here. I mean, it's a mechanic shop. You come here to, when you get a flat tire, don't stay out there. Come in here. You're going to fix it up. It's a mechanic. It's everything in this church. God needs you in order to we can bring Ruth to Boaz's feet. He needs you. Doesn't matter how beer you get. Join the club. Join. Who doesn't go through sideways? You think? No. Enjoy. I can't believe I got married. I thought everything was going to be okay. Oh, man, I got to put up with this guy. Yeah, praise the Lord. Do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you get a crown. You get a trophies. You are precious more than rubies. You understand that? Not even rubies. And so, fruitfulness. We're getting a lesson now to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go with me there, please. Please forgive, forget, and be fruitful. Learn. You know, Paul said, as you turn there, Paul said what? In Philippians 4:11, said, I have learned. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. But there's one thing I do. I like Paul, that he made his stuff so simple. Always try to be single-minded. One thing. I want to do one thing. Not double-minded. A man, and that man is unstable in all he's doing. Do what you got to do, man. I mean, you got to do a job. You got to be in the ministry. You got to get married, not to get married. Do. Make up your mind. Ask the Lord Jesus, ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Make my decision. Please help me. Because when the devil sees that you want to do something for God, he's going to try to push you from behind. He knows you're stubborn. I mean, he knows that. And he's going to push you from behind. So you make a hasty decision, either to marriage or to get a job or to go in the ministry. And try to push you from behind. I swear to have the Holy Ghost to help you. Will it kick him out with the Bible and the Holy Ghost? Man, you got to... Unbelievable. It's like some pastor gave to me one of those little things that talks to you when you drive. You punch in where you got to go, destination, boom, boom, boom. And when you go wrong, it says, calculating, please, recalculating. And how many times do I got to recalculate? Because you're doing wrong. So that thing is almost like the Bible's like the vehicle. Something solid. And that thing talks to you. It's like a guider. It's the Holy Ghost. Try to help you to get to the destination that you want to go. Already the Bible tells us. Okay, go turn left. Okay, 0.8 miles, turn right. Turn right. You calculate it. So is the Holy Ghost telling you this week, recalculating where you're going? Come back where you should be? And praise the Lord. You know what? You know what the machine does? And then once you get out, it doesn't say come back again. It says, okay, now since you make a wrong turn, nice, okay. Okay, on the next 0.2 miles, take another right. What a blessing. It's almost the whole, without speaking any tongues. The guider, the Holy Ghost, and the Bible is the map. We want to do the destination God wants you to be. Second Peter. Peter, you know, is the man that told the Lord, Lord, how many times I have to forgive my brother? How many times, Lord? And the Lord said, he didn't rebuke him. Praise the Lord, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, even God. He said, 70 times 7. And so Paul, what did he do? He gets a 3x5, a pen. Okay, this brother, he did 5 things wrong to me today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Wrote to the pastor, 7 things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so, man, I got 15. So I got to go another 55 to go. And then I start going to hate my brother. It means keep on forgiving. You know what happened? The Lord changed the doctrine in the epistles. So the Lord told them at that time, if your brother Taormina offend Galioto, and if he comes 70 times 7 in that day, talking about one day, man, that's a lot. If he comes, then I'll forgive my brother. What about if he doesn't come? Oh, I'm going to hate him for the rest of my life, right? I'm going to become ulcers in my stomach. I'm going to start drinking more coffee. All kinds of, I'm going to die early. I'm going to have a heart attack. Why? I expect him to come. So if he doesn't come, I'm going to forgive him. Don't you know that a lot of the cults, they go to the Gospels for doctrines? Some of the stuff is fine. And some of the stuff you have to spiritualize it because it's not literal. Now, but God saw that that didn't work. And he changed the doctrine again. And so the Holy Spirit tells Paul, saying, listen, Ephesians 4:31, say, forgiving one another. No condition. There was a condition there. No. Regardless, you have to forgive your brother. Not because he deserves it, but because for your own good. Did Jesus forgive us because of what we deserve? No. He did it because the Father said, you do the job. No condition. So you have to forgive. We have to learn to forgive a veteran, a wife, when they're doing wrong. When the wife knows the husband doing wrong. Regardless. No condition. Amen. Like those marriage lines. You married to this person, your wife, so and so. What? For good, for bad. With this old, no condition, regardless. Marriage is not based on feelings, it's based on commitment. Commitment. And so Peter, he got the lesson because he let the Holy Spirit help him. Look what happened. God gave him the blessing to write 2 books in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. Look with me. Don't go to sleep yet. Amen. The pizza is still coming. Look at this. And besides this, giving of diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. After you guys go to Bible school and learning some Bible here, you're going to be temperaments because you know so much Bible. Now you want to tell everybody, you want to straighten everybody out. Temperance, take it easy. Even though a lot of knowledge, you become like a big tomato and a toothpick, big head and a little body. No, let's. Let it use some of that for sauce to feed somebody. Temperance. Look what happened. After you get some Bible, you get some temperance, now some patience. Now you're going to go through some experience. So we need patience. Patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Amen. And to brotherly kindness, how are you going to do this? With the old man? I look at this old couple here, brethren. Brother, what's your name? Yeah. Oh? Fred. I look at Brother Fred, and Brother Fred looks like when he looks at me, he tells me, he said, Brother, I know it's a pretty good message, but I got to go through a little more of this stuff yet. It's a good message, he tells me. When I look at them, the patience. Patience. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. And if he did it, I can do it. I mean, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. For if these things be in you, a veteran, and abound, it should be. If you let the, drive the new man, if you let the new man drive you with the Holy Spirit, you will have all those things automatically. Automatically. And abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, in the knowledge of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Bible, the living word. Look what happened. So if you forgive and forget, you got all those things, you're going to be. If you are a woman, you don't have a lot of children. Usually a bitter wife, a lot of miscarriages. And that doesn't produce. I'll give an example. I take this picture of pot. Picture this pot. And you keep on moving every 5 minutes. You are maybe a person that you're unstable. You drop maybe in the wrong vitamin. And so you are unstable. You cannot stay still. You cannot be like your most like it. You cannot be a housewife. You always got to have someone. Always got to be the keys in the hands. Always the keys in the hands. Well, guess what? If you keep on moving this pot and try to put the seed, shakes the topsoil, it will never germinate. If it germinates a couple of days, all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. Because of the dirt detaches from the seed, because of a movable, always unstable person, and you miss. And then if, well, that's God. Say, God, I can't believe they gave me my child. Sometime it is, I don't know what, but let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's all I can say. To help you out. So we can be fruitful. And don't blame God all the time for everything. Me, myself, and I. Let's stop blaming God. Joseph never blamed God one time. Never didn't blame nobody. He considered because of what he said make his patron, you know, angry. He knew that. But he said, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And so, brethren, if you and I, we don't learn how to forgive and forget, look what happened in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, he's blind, and cannot see far off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Brother, you and I, we can get so bitter at times that you're going to be blind. We're going to forget that God saved us. You became like an animal. You can go back again to be a rotten terrorist again. You forgot. You know why those poor guys, they killed? They don't know how to forgive. Because they're not forgiven. They do exactly that God hates. It's a hate. It's Satan, their God. He's not. It's whatever the thing it is. Now, if you don't learn how to forgive and forget. And this piece of paper holds eternal life, the words of eternal life. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look into the field. But if I am blind, how can I look into the field? Of course, if I'm blind, can I see far off? I can't see nothing. Darkness. I'm in darkness. Satan has me captured again. Not the soul. My mind. I'm blind in darkness. How can I go Saturday afternoon downtown and give out a gospel tract if I am bitter? The Bible says, where there is no vision, people, what? So, brother, ultimately, you know who's going to pay for it? It's not you that you divorce your wife. Or because you don't come to church again because of the pastor, whatever it is, whatever excuse you want to get. Ultimately, you know who's going to suffer? Souls are going to hell. And because the family stopped coming here, you, pastor, is forced to get those prayer letters, missionaries, and pull him down from that map and throw him down because he cannot support missionaries anymore when we get there. Amen. I hope this is not the case here. I think you guys are blessed because your pastor is very gracious. Sometimes it depends on the shepherd And you've got a great, great pastor here. What a blessing. I'm done, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to help you tonight. Some of you young men, the way you grew up, bitterness, you grew up hard, father, always smacking you, always giving you negative things. You got a lot to do, reconstruct your character. Guess who's going to help you? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God with the Bible. And you're going to do the right direction. Makes you choose the right woman. Your young ladies make you choose the right man. Sometime, watch out the way you dress. You ladies, I got daughters. I speak for my ladies. If you ladies are dressed up in the flesh, you're going to attract a man with the Bible here, coming up from the Bible Institute, in the flesh, because you dress in the flesh. Depends what you put in the hook, what kind of men you put, and what kind of fish you're going to attract. So I'm just doing it. The men have to be strong enough. No. Depends how you dress. That's what kind of men you're going to attract. That speaks. Amen. Action speaks. I don't want to leave you with that. I want to leave you in the idea that, please, let's pray to God that help us to forgive and forget so we can finish the race with joy, looking unto Jesus, the other finisher of our faith, that for the joy that was set before him, he what? Endure it, the cross. And now he said, done it at the hand of the front of the because the Bible says, I finished the verse. Don't go there. Ephesians, Hebrews 12, 3. And better, if I'm blind, how can I finish the race? I need some eyes. That means I got to learn how to forgive and forget so I can keep my eyes open. And so in verse 3, Hebrews 12, 3. For consider him, consider Jesus, that endureth durability. For consider him. Look at it. Yeah. You got the whole thing. You got availability of Jesus. Then you got acceptability. A joy that was set before him. And now a durability. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you sent the Holy Spirit to help us so we can give us the strength to forgive and forget. But not from him, but from the Holy, from the Bible itself that tells us to forgive one another, to forget and be fruitful like Peter did. What a blessing. What a blessing. Please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We just thank you. Thank you for this beautiful Naomi church here. Thank you for them. Pastor, thank you that he's still running the race. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. We thank you for everything in this beautiful church. The things that are come up yet tonight on Wednesday. Please let start lined up things and speak to Pastor what we should do, what we should not do. Bless the rest of the afternoon and bring us back tonight here. And be a blessing again, all of us. Give a veteran travel and mercy to go home and enjoy their families. Us husbands, please help us to forgive and forget. Help us to talk to our children in a better tone of voice. The wives also grew up in the wrong environment. Help them, please, to be nice to the children. Help us to be nice to our children, to our seed, so they can run their race also. They love to walk in the Lord, to do the work of God. Thank you, Father. So much to thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Wasn't that good? Amen. I got a great blessing out of that message this morning. I don't know about you. I never noticed the meaning of Joseph's sons' names before. Manasseh and Ephraim. That's a blessing. That was worth the price of admission this morning. That means, you know, think about it. You name your child. How many times in a day do you call your child, right? Bill, John, come here. Every time he called Manasseh, his name means forget. Forget. Forget, forget, come to dinner, forget, clean your room, forget, be fruitful. You know what? Because Joseph had a lot that he could have been bitter about. Joseph had a lot, he had a lot to forgive. His brothers had hurt him badly. But he kept reminding himself. That must have been a daily reminder to himself. Forget. Forget. Be fruitful. Forget. You know what? Some of you, you're going to miss the fruit in your life that God would have given you because you will not forgive and you will not forget. I wonder if any of our people in this room right now, you're missing out on something because somebody, maybe somebody in this church, someone in your family hurt you. Maybe they were dead wrong. Joseph's brothers were dead wrong. They hurt him badly. How could you do that to your own family? Beat him up. Sell him into slavery. If Joseph had put out a contract on his brother's heads, you know what? In the flesh, we could understand that. How could you do that to your own brother? Forgive. Forget. Forgive. Forget. Be fruitful. What a message this morning. And I know somebody in this room needed to hear that. I wonder who it is that you haven't forgiven. I wonder why some of God's blessings have not come to be realized in your life because there's some things you won't forgive and there's some things you will not forget. And I like that, brother, because you know what? You know whether or not you've forgiven it, because if you keep bringing it up and you keep bringing it up, you keep bringing it up, you've never forgiven it. And some of you keep bringing stuff up in your marriage, to your wife, to your husband, in this church. It's not really forgiven because you won't forget it. And you know what? That's why you're not going to see fruit in your life. That's a great message this morning. I hope somebody's listening here. But I'll tell you what, that'll make you better. That'll make you a better Christian if you'll take heed to what the Holy Spirit gave this church this morning. That is a great message. Who do you need to forgive this morning? I venture to say this. There are probably more than one of you in here this morning. It's God you're mad at. Something happened in your life. And you have never really gotten over it. Maybe the Lord took something away from you. Now, God needs no forgiveness because he's never done anything wrong. But in your little black book, it was God that hurt you. It was God that didn't make your plans work out. It was God that didn't give you what you prayed for. It was God that didn't come the first time you called, run like an errand boy. And it's God you're bitter at. You want to see fruit in your life? You better forget that. You better forgive that. Not forgive God. You better get your heart right and just put that behind you and forget that. And if you got to have a daily reminder like Manasseh and Ephraim every day, I think Joseph, who chose those names for his kids? That had to be Joseph. Joseph wanted to remind himself every day, every day, every day. Every time he spoke the names of his children, he was saying to himself, forget, be fruitful, forget. Forget. Be fruitful. How about you? Maybe somebody here today, that's what you need to do. You need this message this morning. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's something that you're having a hard time forgetting. Why don't you do what the preacher said this morning? Beg God. Just say, Lord, make me forget it. Help me forgive. Make me forget. Help me to be fruitful. Let's bow our heads this morning. Eyes closed this morning. Now, you know the Lord's got your number this morning. You don't have to worry about the preacher having your number. That shouldn't scare you. God's got your number, and he knows. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I want that fruit in my life. I want to be fruitful as a Christian. And maybe the reason I haven't been is because there's still something in me, somebody that I can't forgive, something that I can't forgive, some things I can't forget. Friend, you heard it this morning, clear and plain. It doesn't get any clearer than that. In spite of broken English and Italian, you know what? The Spirit of God made it real clear today. He was speaking our language this morning. You want to make it right this morning? You want to do what the Holy Spirit said to you this morning? You want to see some fruit in your life? Will you speak to God this morning? Will you speak to your Father in heaven this morning? Will you ask the Lord to forgive you? If there's something or someone in your heart that you can't, you just can't let go of it. You won't forgive it. You can't forget it. If somebody hurt you. Maybe that person doesn't even deserve to be forgiven. Who does? You and I didn't deserve to be forgiven. But let's forgive like Jesus Christ forgives. Let's just forgive for the glory of his name. Is there someone here this morning? Eyes closed, nobody's looking around, but I want to ask you this morning. I just want to see if anybody, maybe God had you in mind this morning with that message this morning. You say, there is something in my heart. I've had a hard time letting go of it. There's something in my heart. I can't forgive. I can't forget. But by God's grace, I want to ask God to help me with that this morning. Is there anyone like that this morning? Would you just lift your hand? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Dozens of hands. Now listen, that the Spirit of God then was speaking to you this morning. Don't worry about anybody else here. Worry about what the Lord said to you this morning. Now, He said it to you. He put it in the preacher's heart to bring this to us this morning. So now what are you going to do? Go home and just have dinner and forget the whole thing? Or will you this morning say, Lord, I heard you. Thank you, Lord. I heard you. Lord, help my heart today. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to forgive. Help me to forget, Lord. Help me to forget. Help me to forget, Lord. Will you talk to Him this morning? Will you make it right with Him this morning? You don't have to come down and do it at the front of this church. The location is not important. It's what happens in your heart. That's what's important. Let's go out of this room right with God today. Make that right with Him. And before we leave this place this morning, let me ask you this one more question. Maybe you're here this morning and, like the brother said, it's hard for some of those people in Sicily that he deals with, the Muslims, to forgive because they don't know what it means to be forgiven themselves. They don't know the